702. Weekend Breakfast with Googs Mhlungu.
Standing in for Refilwe Mpakanyane on 702.
Live.
Online.
Smartphones.
DSTV.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
702. Let's walk the talk.
It's 22 minutes before 7 o'clock. You are still on Weekend Breakfast right here on 702 with me, Googs Mhlungu. Time for us to talk health. And as mentioned, this week, the 10th of May, was a dedicated World Lupus Day. Lupus is a serious, life-threatening and fatal disease. And that's what we'll be discussing with our resident GP, Dr. Fundi Lenyati. But we'd also like to hear from you. Perhaps you are someone that's living with lupus, or maybe you have a family member, a loved one, or you care for someone that is living with lupus. And what is that experience for you? What are some of the things that people who don't live with lupus or who don't have never had to deal with lupus, what are some of the things that people don't understand or that you'd like them to understand about this condition? You can give us a call on 011-883-0702. You can send us your experiences via SMS on 31702. Or send us a WhatsApp or WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Dr. Nyati, as always, good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Books, and good morning to all the 702 listeners.
So this week we're speaking about lupus, and let's start right at the beginning. What is lupus?
All right. Lupus is what we call an autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a disease, or it's a clinical condition that's chronic, whereby your own immune system may attack healthy tissues in various organs of the body. So basically, in simple language, I'll say the immune system goes rogue, in your body, starts to see various tissues as, invaders in the body, and therefore creates problems which may be in any part of the body. It may affect the joints. It may affect the heart. It may affect the brain and the spinal cord. It may affect kidneys, basically any part of the body. So it's a very difficult kind of clinical condition to diagnose, because sometimes it can develop over a long period of time, and somebody may just think that they've got arthritis and not think that it's actually part of, lupus. But in some people, it may actually, develop, very, very quickly, focusing on one part of the body or in many parts of the body. So it's called a silent thief, or it's a thief of health by many people, who suffer from it because of the poor quality of life that it may cause, in many people who suffer from it.
Mm. Doctor, you said it's an autoimmune disease, so your own immune system or your own body begins to think that certain cells are... what happens in that instance?
They're targeted by your immune system,
mm-hmm.
As if there is something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the immune system is there to defend us against germs, or invaders,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this time around, there are no germs that are actually in those tissues, but your body's immune system will recognize the cells in those particular organs, as sort of an enemy, and it goes mounting a lifelong a destruction of those tissues, which may then lead to various presentations. And it's normally said that there's no two people with lupus who present in the same way, because it could present with any combination, symptoms,
mm-hmm.
Depending on the organs that are affected.
Mm. You said one of the challenges with diagnosing lupus is that often the symptoms will mimic other conditions or will mimic
Indeed.
Other issues. What are some of the common symptoms? I know you said, no two people with lupus will have the same presentation, but what are some of those symptoms?
You know, like I mentioned that, you know, there's many, many symptoms. Let's start with just non-specific, generalized symptoms. Somebody may have bouts of fever, that is raised body temperature, and they don't even know. And when they go and be tested, there's no infection, but we normally associate fever, you know, with infection. So they may have bouts of fever. They may have bouts of just being tired, you know, over a period of time, to an extent that some people may even be accused of being lazy, you know. They may present with what we call skin photosensitivity because some people with lupus exposure to the sun actually causes their skins to be very sensitive and develop rash. Other people may present with joint pains and joint swelling, you know, arthritis. Other people may present with swollen glands, non-specific muscle aches. Other people may have presentation of like chest pains, you know, where maybe you even think that there's a pneumonia, yet there's no pneumonia. Others may even present with neurological problems like seizures and, you know, dizziness. Others may even have mental health conditions like psychosis. So really the symptoms are varied depending on which organ or organs of the body are affected.
And so if you can present with any number of symptoms, how is lupus diagnosed?
That's exactly the problem. You know, the majority of people who are diagnosed with lupus, or what we call systemic lupus erythematosus, you know, majority of those people, the diagnosis is made after a long time because there's no one specific diagnostic tool. But one, you know, if you do this test, then it confirms that you have got lupus. But having said that, so it's a combination of the clinical picture that one presents with to the doctor, depending on the system that is affected, and also some blood tests. There is a blood test that is called, you know, the ANF, anti-nuclear factor, because remember, these soldiers that are in lupus, they target the nucleuses of the cells of the different organs of the body. So when we then do the ANF test, we are actually trying to see if that test is going to be positive. Well, people with lupus will have a positive anti-nuclear factor, but not everybody who's got a positive anti-nuclear factor has got lupus. But everybody who's got lupus will have a positive anti-nuclear factor. So that's one of the tests that you know, a doctor needs to do, but combining that with the clinical picture, depending on the organ, you know, that's affected, then if we think that there could be a problem with kidneys, then we will do blood tests that will look at kidney functioning. If we think there's a problem in the lungs, then we may then do x-ray. So there is no specific test, and that's the reason why it takes so long to get people to be diagnosed. People may just be treated for arthritis for many, many years. And the arthritis is actually part of a broader systemic, you know, a health challenge, which is called lupus.
Once you've been diagnosed, what are your options for treatment? Can the condition be cured?
Well, I think that's another very important issue. One, remember, the exact cause as to what causes those, you know, immune cells, you know, to go rogue, we don't know. There is a hereditary factor, you know, that affects, you know, that has been found in many people with lupus. It seems a combination of hereditary factors plus environmental factors that can then trigger, you know, this condition. But in terms of treatment, one thing one needs to say is that there is no cure. There is no cure for lupus. There is no way of undoing, you know, that activation of the immune cells to attack your own healthy body cells. However, what we offer, you know, as medical people, you know, are treatments that can then deal with the various symptoms, depending on which symptom seems to be, you know, the one that's causing the most discomfort. So many people will have generalized body pains. Then we will deal with those body pains. Many people will have, you know, painful joints. We deal with that. So we treat the symptom, but there is nothing that can reverse this condition. So it is therefore a problem, but we also know that, you know, it may fluctuate over a period of time, what we call, we may have flare-ups and times where it's almost like in remission. So we normally then, you know, give people treatment during flare-ups, and one of the treatments that are normally given are steroid tablets, you know, that will try and lower down the aggression of your immune system. But we may even, depending on the seriousness of you know, of the condition, if, for example, it affects the kidneys, where it often causes chronic kidney failure, then we may put somebody on what we call immunosuppression, you know, drugs, which are almost similar to some of the cancer drugs, you know, to try and calm down the body. So depending on what one is presenting with in terms of symptoms or the organ that's affected, then we tailor the treatment to deal with that. But remember, there is no cure.
Mm. I just want to go back to a point you're making, that it seems that there is both a genetic or hereditary element to lupus, but also environmental factors. When we say environmental factors, what does that mean exactly? Specific when we discuss lupus specifically.
All right. So, you know, there are what we call, you know, there are certain things that trigger, you know, in the environment. So I talked about photosensitivity, you know, so sunlight, exposure to the sun may actually, you know, trigger, you know, lupus symptoms, causing certain skin lesions. And there's one very common skin lesion. We call it a butterfly rash, whereby somebody over the cheeks and the nasal bridge, they actually get a rash that is typical. In at least 50% of people with lupus, they will present with that. So sunlight is one of those environmental things. Medications. Some medications that we give for other health conditions, like medications to treat blood pressure and medications to treat seizures and some antibiotics, may actually trigger, you know, lupus flare-ups or attacks. Some infections, you know, and here we're talking viral infections, you know, like Epstein-Barr virus infection and cytomegalovirus infections and other viruses may trigger this. So when we say, therefore, the environment can actually, you know, play a part in getting people to present with lupus, those with a genetic predisposition. That's basically what we're talking about.
A question on WhatsApp is lupus very similar to multiple sclerosis?
Well, I'll say at times, you know, there's a differential diagnosis. You know, when we see somebody with a particular, you know, health condition and we have not yet made a diagnosis, we then put one or two or three different conditions that we think may be the actual, you know, diagnosis. So, yes, at times, multiple sclerosis people may be misdiagnosed as people with lupus or vice versa.
Mm. Can lupus affect someone's fertility, for instance? Does it have an impact on pregnancies?
Yeah, that's a very, very good, you know, a point that you just mentioned, Cooks. You know, firstly, lupus is about 8 to 10 times more common amongst females. All right, and that is the general trend also with other autoimmune diseases. Now, so you know, people with lupus, especially females, they tend to have a challenge of infertility. you know, difficulty in, you know, in falling pregnant after they've been trying for about a year with their partner, you know, in unprotected sexual intercourse. Two, those who do fall pregnant, there tends to be a high rate, you know, of preterm labor or even miscarriages. So yes, you know, lupus, like I said, it can affect any part of the body, even the reproductive system. It does affect it, leading to infertility and, you know, a bad obstetric history as far as pregnancies are concerned.
Why is it that women seem to be more predisposed to getting lupus or autoimmune conditions in general? Do we know why?
It's a million-dollar question. An answer has not yet been found as to why. So it's an observation from various clinical studies across the world. But the exact reason as to why females in particular have got, you know, a higher prevalence of lupus, it's something that really we do not know at this moment.
Mm. In terms of life expectancy, in what ways does lupus affect life expectancy of the people living with the condition? I know earlier you mentioned quality of life, but yes. What ways does it impact life expectancy? Is it always the kind of, is it always a terminal, or does it always lead to life-threatening or terminal illness?
All right. Right. Let me say that, you know, I mentioned earlier that it's a thief of health. So you know, a lot of studies have been done across the world, you know, amongst people who are living with lupus. And one of the things that they have found is that the quality of life of most people who are suffering from lupus does go down. Sometimes to an extent that their ability to be involved, you know, in economic activities, that is work, can actually be affected, you know, because one, it's unpredictable in terms of the frequency and the severity of symptoms. And sometimes the treatment may not work and people may even be thought of as malingering, you know. So the quality of life, activities of daily living, what we call, you know, the ability to wash yourself, dress yourself, and all of that may be affected depending, you know, especially those people with musculoskeletal, you know, a presentation where it affects the bones, muscles, and joints. So generally, the quality of life of people with lupus is actually reduced, but also people die from, you know, lupus. It's normally diagnosed between the ages of 15 to 45. And, you know, people who have got what we call lupus and nephritis, where it affects the kidneys, those people may have a kidney failure and they may live with dialysis. And if they don't get, you know, kidney transplants, then some of those people then may unfortunately die. So it does shorten the life expectancy of some of these people. And at least 50% of people with lupus do present with lupus and nephritis, which then certainly does affect the quality of life and may shorten, you know, the life expectancy.
Mm. Dr. Nyati, we do have Nikki in Edenvale with a question. Nikki, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Googs. Doctor, yes, I was just interested in the question about comparing multiple sclerosis to lupus. Now, I have relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, and I have a dear friend who has lupus. And they, to me, they are very, very different. You know, since I've been on interferon medication, my MS is very stable, whereas her condition seems to be very, from day to day, she doesn't know how she's going to be feeling. So to me, lupus seems to be a more unpredictable condition. Would I be correct in saying that?
Well, you are very right. In terms of, remember, these are different clinical conditions. Just like I can say, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, you know, is different from lupus, for example. But At a certain stage, the presentation, you know, may be similar. However, how they progress during the time you have the condition, you know, it may be different. So, yes, lupus is very, very unpredictable. You know, yet multiple sclerosis, the presentation may be different, and also how you treat it is very, very different. So you're very right. Between yourself and your friend who has got lupus, I'm sure the friend is affected more by the unpredictability, you know, the flare-ups and everything, and the fact that there's no specific treatment to deal with lupus.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, she and I are actually working on a book together on living with chronic conditions positively. So we hope to get that done one day and that it might help people with these conditions.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think it's very important that people like you who are living with these clinical conditions, because yes, we have studied these conditions and stuff, but we need more voices from people who have experienced, you know, these conditions so that they can also be able to enlighten and provide support to others who may be newly diagnosed.
Nikki, thank you very much for your call. Dr. Nyati, we also, that's where we need to leave it. Thank you very much for your time. It's always great chatting to you.